Hello everybody and welcome back to another episode of You Can't Handle the Truth. Today's episode, we're going to be talking about John Wick Chapter 4, heavy, heavy spoiler review, okay? Should I start at the end or should I build up to it? I'm not sure, but either way, this film is amazing. It is absolutely incredible. I loved it. I had a great time with it. I've still only seen it once at the time of this recording. Maybe I should wait until I've seen it for a second time, because I definitely need to, due to the fact that there is so much killing and so many people getting hit by cars. That Arc de Triomphe scene, I can talk about it now, but what the f*** happens? It's just crazy. First of all, to get there, he steals a car. No, he gets hit by a car, then he gets hit by another car, then I think he gets hit by another car, then he steals the car, drives that into somebody, somebody then smashes into his car, he gets his door cut off, he gets his other door cut off, and then he drives away, and you know what he does? He picks up his gun as he's driving, and it's on the floor outside, and I'm like, what? And then it gets better. Goes to the Arc de Triomphe, drives around the wrong way for starters. Amazing. The way it was shot by director Chad Stahelski, he's been a fantastic director for all three movies prior to this, but this one might just be his best. There are some shots, I have no idea how they're able to pull it off. It's just remarkable cinema right here. And yes, I'm saying that, it's an action movie, you know, it's a John Wick film. It's a fourth movie in a franchise, but I am saying it's one of the best films I think I've ever seen. You know, just from the opening, I knew it was going to be amazing. But then when it gets to that final hour, everybody is out to kill John Wick before sunrise, and shit just goes down. Okay, it really goes off hard. When he's driving around the Arc de Triomphe, he's swerving in and out of cars, he's shooting people. There's a bunch of cars that kind of stop and the people get out and they're shooting at him. And he drifts around them, shooting them. And it's just a really long held shot of him doing this. And it's like, what? This is the greatest thing I've ever seen. And then it gets better and better. He gets out of the car. He's dodging in between cars when he's having a hand-to-hand fight with some of the bad guys. And there's cars just going all around them. It's like, oh my God, please stay safe. You're going to get hit. And everybody does get hit. Loads of people get hit by cars. It's just crazy. It's manic. It's amazing. And then he steals a bike and he goes to this big building. And from there, it just gets better and better. Okay, he steals one of these Dragon Breath shotguns. And I'd heard rumors about this Dragon Breath, but I didn't know what to expect. But the clue is in the name. Okay, it literally couldn't be more explicit what it actually entails. It is a shotgun, sure, so people get blown away. But the Dragon Breath, it's basically a flamethrower, okay? It sets them on fire, and it looks ridiculous, okay? It features in one of the craziest and most incredible action scenes I've ever witnessed in my life, and I've seen a lot, but this is at the tip of the very top. I think the fact that stunt performer turned director Chad Stahelski has been able to reinvent how to film a John Wick film in the fourth movie, right? In the first three, he directs it fantastically anyway, and the action sequences are so intense, invigorating, dynamic. I love them. A lot of them kind of move with the rhythm, and the gunshots are on the beat, and it's just amazing in that sense. But what he's been able to do with this film, and this scene in particular, when John Wick is going through the house, setting everybody on fire with the Dragon Breath shotgun, it's like an overhead eagle-eye crane shot that he's used, and it's slowly moving from room to room as John Wick is going through them. It is like a video game. There was a game released a few years ago called John Wick Hex, and even though it's not exactly my type of game, it's more of a strategy shooter, so it's an overhead shot, and you've got to move the character from room to room, killing people. That is precisely what he set out to recreate. I had no idea a scene like this was going to be featured, but I am so glad it was, because when he first walks up the stairs, picks up the gun, the camera is just pulling out slightly, and then starting to lift in the air, and I was thinking, where is this camera going? Like, what is it going to do? And when it got into position, John Wick underneath it directly, and you are following him, killing every single person in this building in like an open plan design. We've seen this kind of shot done before. James Wan used it in Malignant. I'm pretty sure it was used briefly in Game Night 2. But we have not seen it used to this extent before, because it goes on for at least a minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes even. And then it does it again. After the shot cuts and we see a little more hand-to-hand combat, he's fighting against a tracker. They jump through a wall. And the camera starts doing the same thing again. It starts pulling out and just lifting in the air. And I'm thinking, no way is it doing it again. But they managed to do that. And going back to my point about the video game, it makes me so relieved that Chad Stahelski, he's doing the Ghost of Tsushima movie. And I love that game. And I am apprehensive that the movie is never going to be as good. But after John Wick 4, I mean, look, even after John Wick 1, 2, and 3, to be fair, if anybody is going to helm a movie like that, it's Chad Stahelski. Even more so with the way that he films the Osaka sequence earlier in this film too, with the katanas, the nunchucks, the standoffish design, the bow and arrow. That is screaming, I can do the Ghost of Tsushima movie, just wait and see. And then at the end as well, with the duel, that is just a standoff, which features a lot in Ghost of Tsushima. So I'm so much more excited for that movie now, especially as well after The Last of Us on HBO, which is just amazing. So I really feel like the Ghost of Tsushima movie, please don't make me regret saying this, but it is going to be great whenever that comes out. Hopefully in a couple of years' time, maybe. We'll see. But John Wick Chapter 4, that shootout scene in the building, the last thing I want to say about that, before he jumps out of a window and somehow survives a fall of like 5 stories, no idea how. I know John Wick has always had a serious amount of plot armor, but the fact that he manages to, like, he doesn't fall, he jumps. Okay, he smashes through a window, jumps an incredible height, lands on a van, and then onto the floor, and he somehow just walks off, right? He's fine. I don't understand. Anyway, this scene, all right, this shootout scene, it only went and got better because it plays the same music that was used in the club sequence in the very first film. And when I heard that kick in, all right, La Castlevania, shots fired, and LED spirals, I just knew, like, I had this feeling inside of me when I first heard that piece of music that this is the best one they've done. Right, John Wick Chapter 4, yes, it may be a little bit overbloated at times, and some of the line reads could have been a little better, but I don't care, because as great as the first movie is, as amazing as the second movie is, as phenomenal as the third movie is, this is a combination of all of them. It is a f***ing masterpiece, and that song, they didn't need to use it, but the fact they did just cements the fact that this is the best one yet. And this is the best scene in the entire franchise, in my opinion. Like, genuinely, the way it made me feel was just powerful stuff. And this is coming off the back of the Arc de Triomphe scene, which I thought was another top moment of the franchise. So there's no way they could top that again, could they? Unless they might have just done that with the staircase sequence. I don't know how they keep doing it in this movie, because I'd heard rumours about some really good action sequences that last almost half an hour. But when I was watching, I was thinking, okay, is this the scene? Is this the scene? Okay, it's got to be this one, right? But no, for some reason, every single action sequence in this movie is already a 10, and they managed to elevate it to beyond that for the next one, for the next one, for the next one, consecutively for the entire movie. I don't think I've ever seen a film do that before, because usually you have a great action sequence, a little minor one, maybe another one, then a big one, and then the finale. And it's up for debate whether the finale of this movie is as good as the three action sequences that come before it. But I don't think they're trying to have the same impact from it. They're trying to have a much more emotional weight behind the finale. And I think to an extent they do succeed, but you are coming down off a very, very large high, because the last three action sequences have all been sensational. The staircase, though, I will talk about that. Another amazing song choice, okay? They use a remix of Genesis by Justice, and I have listened to that song religiously for years now. So when I heard that kick in, when he's running up this staircase, there's like 200 steps, and he's shooting everybody in his path, and Genesis is playing, I just wasn't expecting that at all. Yes, maybe I would have liked it to be kind of in more rhythm, so him shooting on the beats, I would have liked that, because that would have been calling back to the very first movie and the second one too. But while this has a killer soundtrack and a great beat to each scene, like, it doesn't need to be in rhythm, that's just a little nitpicky thing that I personally enjoy a lot, but it already is played out to an intense rhythm because of having that song, and what he's doing is so badass, you just feel hyped. And it's so fun watching him shoot his way up these stairs, throwing knives at people that are really far away, and then watching them slide down and he shoots them on the way past. It's like, holy shit, this film is amazing. And then he gets to the top, and I'm not gonna lie, I did have a sneaky suspicion something like this was gonna happen, but when it did, I was like, no, no. And I was the only person reacting. Like, I was fully laughing at what was happening, but I don't know why nobody else was, because it was surely played for laughs. Okay, yes, it's a little bit disappointing what happens. And maybe people at that point were just thinking, I'm 2.5 hours into this movie, can we just wrap it up already? But for me, I just wanted to see it go on and on and on. And that's what it does, because he makes it to the top, and one of the heavies, the main henchman from the movie, he is at the top waiting for him, and he kicks him down the f***ing staircase. And he falls down every single step right to the very bottom. And I knew it was coming, because I thought it's way too easy. Okay, it's too easy for him to just make it to the top and then make it to his destination where he's going to have this duel. But of course, falls down the stairs. But this time round, waiting for him at the bottom is Donnie Yen. And I think Donnie Yen has some amazing scenes throughout this film. I want to briefly jump back to when they're in Osaka and he's in the kitchen. First of all, it looks like he's just lurking in the shadows eating noodles, which is fantastic. I love his character so much. I love Donnie Yen anyway. And I don't know if it was this film or it was another one. It might have either been XXX3. God, why am I talking about that film? Or Rogue One, when Donnie Yen was moving so fast for the camera, I think they had to make him do it in slow motion just so the cameras could pick up what he's doing. But it may have been this film too, because there are certain times when he's punching people in rapid succession, or because he's blind, when he's using his stick to just completely massacre people. And at one point he kind of unsheaths it and he's got a blade in his stick. Like, what? As if this couldn't get any more badass. You've got a blind man already beating people up with his cane, and funnily enough, his name already is Kane. But then he just unsheaths it and he's hiding an even more deadly weapon in there. But the way that he uses his environment, because he's blind, he uses doorbells. Okay, I'm not even kidding. It's like motion sensors, but it feels like a Ring doorbell that he uses. So he's in the kitchen, he puts a few on the walls when he's scouting through, and he gets into position, and when the bad guys walk past it, it makes that ding dong chime, and he shoots them because he knows where they are. But it's like, holy sh**, I've never even thought about anybody doing something like this. So the fact that they were able to take what you already think you know is going to happen with a blind man beating people up, we saw it in Rogue One, we saw it with Donnie Yen in Rogue One, and yet the fact they've been able to kind of add these new things in and make it so exciting for an audience watching, both Donnie Yen and Kane are such a great addition to this franchise, because he's got a reason to fight. Okay, they say at one point as well, which I love this line, there are three types of people in the world: those who have something to die for, those who have something to live for, and those who have something to kill for. And he definitely fits the bill for that, because he's been tasked to kill John Wick, otherwise his daughter's going to be in danger. So he's got motive, he's kind of an anti-villain because he is going up against John Wick, who is supposed to be the hero. But is John Wick really a hero when he's committing several heinous murders during this movie? I'm not sure. At this point, he's definitely serial, but I love that, because what other franchise has a hero that is so violent and so shocking? Sure, Deadpool maybe, but he's a superhero, that doesn't count. I'm talking like a genuine person, okay, just a civilian almost. But John Wick is no man. John Wick is more than the myth and the legend, as Lawrence Fishburne says in number 2. He returns. I think he could have done a bit more in this film, and I thought he was going to, because right from the opening he features, he has a great moment at the start, All Hail the King, bringing John his suit. You ready to go to work, John? Yeah, oh, it's so good, so f***ing good. The opening, okay, it's so powerful when he's punching the punching bag thing, but it's like, it's just like a piece of wood. I don't even know what it is. It's not a proper punching bag, it's just bloodied up rope around a piece of wood, and it's just like, douche, douche. The power that you are witness to as an audience member, through the sound design, through the cinematography, because after this, it cuts to a shot of the sun rising and then horses appearing on the horizon. Like, what the f*** am I watching? Is this Lawrence of Arabia or something? Like, oh my god, this is just insane. Like, from that moment on, I literally thought in the cinema, could this be the best thing I've ever seen? And you know what? It's definitely up there, because even though the middle of this film, it could have been a little bit more memorable, because I'm trying to think about it now, and I remember the Osaka sequence, which happens about 40 minutes in. I thought that was terrific, with Hiroyuki Sanada and Rina Sawayama. They are also equally fantastic additions to this universe, and I love that scene because it goes on for literally half an hour, which is crazy. There is so much glass smashing, there are so many new weapons as well. There's nunchucks, there's the katanas, the bow and arrow. It's mad, it's insane, but it's classic John Wick, with the neon lighting, with the falls, with people getting shot in the head, and there's body armor, and I love the additions to the armor in this movie too, because you've got the enemies wearing these really badass masks and they can withstand bullets. somehow, I don't really know how, because everybody seems to be using high caliber weapons and extremely powerful ballistics, but they still survive like it's nothing. But I do like how everybody is using their suits more, because it's already been known that their suits are bulletproof, or they can get enhancements at least to make their suits bulletproof. We saw that in the second movie, it was really fun, and there are several times during this movie where John Wick is using his jacket to cover his face, because unfortunately, his face ain't bulletproof, but thankfully his suit is, and it's just crazy, like, oh my god as well, the one bit at the end when he's taking his suit off, when he's getting ready for the duel against Kane, and he takes his suit off, and you can just hear bullets hit the floor, it's great, because the amount he's managed to withstand up until that point, and just when it cuts to the people waiting for John, so you've got Clancy Brown, Bill Skarsgård, and Ian McShane all waiting at the venue of the duel for sunrise for John Wick to turn up, and you can just hear the gunshots in the background. It's like, this film is so funny. Like, it's really, really funny. The entire franchise has been quite humorous to me. Maybe I'm a psychopath, maybe I'm sadistic for that, but I don't care, because it is trying to be funny, like, it's trying to be so absurd and ridiculous through the violence, through the narrative choices, through everything. It is trying to be so absurd, you can laugh at it because it is funny, but it's also extremely slick and serious. Like, don't get me wrong, it absolutely has those qualities too, but you've got to be able to have fun with it. And this entire franchise has been about having fun. It stems from somebody killing his dog, and then he then proceeds to say, I'm going to kill everybody in the world. And I want to talk about that because in the second movie, at the very end, he says to Winston, tell them all, whoever comes, whoever it is, I'll kill them. I'll kill them all. Okay, Jonathan, I believe you. Right, you've killed a lot of people in this movie already, and some of which with a pencil. But then in this film, when he's speaking to his mate Hiroyuki Sanada, and he's saying, I'm going to kill everyone. You can't stand in my way. And then he's responding with, nobody, not even you, John, can kill everybody, can kill the whole world, so just don't bother trying. Like, where does it end? And at that point, I was kind of thinking, okay, he's got a point, because Keanu Reeves, as badass as he is, there is no denying that he is older now, he's 10 years older now than he was in the first movie. So it kind of makes sense that he's starting to show his age a little bit, but in the John Wick world, this is set like 6 months after the events of the first movie. So he shouldn't sound as older as he does, and I think that kind of plays into some of the line reading, which I wasn't a huge fan of. Like, some of the lines, I can't remember the specific one, but I think Bill Skarsgård at one point, who is fantastic in this film, he plays a Frenchman, and yes, he's slimy as per usual, and there's one bit where he kind of laughs like Pennywise, and I'm like, ha, creepy, I hate it. But he is so good, his character is well developed, he wears some amazing suits, he stands with some incredible backdrops too, but he says to John at one point, you're a killer, it's who you've always been, like, there is no escape for you, you are a killer. And then, I don't know what John Wick says in return, but it's something like, yeah, and I'm gonna kill you. And it's like, okay, Keanu, like, I love you, I love Keanu so much. And he has embodied John Wick right from the very start in some exceptional ways. But I couldn't buy into that performance. It did almost make me laugh for the wrong reasons. But then again, there are several moments through the film where he delivers a much better performance, right? When he's being interrogated by the Russians or his Belarusian family, and he's being hung, okay? He's literally being hung, but you feel his performance, like, you feel the weight and the gravitas behind it. So I loved his performance then. I thought it was fantastic, but that scene was great when he has to go on a mission, like, to get this duel in place. Because of the old laws, he has to be a part of a family, and in the third movie, he gets his ticket punched, so he's no longer part of that family. This time he goes to mend it, so yeah, you could argue they're just retconning something that happened in the previous movie, but it makes perfect sense in the grand scheme of the narrative, because he literally cannot do one thing without another, therefore he has to go and do that, and then from there, he has to go and kill somebody else. So yeah, it does feel as though it's almost like a fetch quest. They're kind of saying, yeah, you've got to get this, but for us, you've got to do this. And then he's got to go and do that, get that, then get back to the main quest. So I can understand if people are going to have an issue with that, because it does almost pad things out for time quite significantly, but I don't care, because without it, we wouldn't have the club scene and Scott Adkins' character. Now, I'm going to say it, as great a martial arts star as Scott Adkins is, I don't think he's a very good actor, and I do think he's had some pretty performances in the past, like Jiu-Jitsu and Abduction and One Shot. Like, if you go onto Scott Adkins' IMDb page, they all seem to be exactly the same type of movies. Like, just looking at the posters, they're all him holding a gun, right? That's it. That's all he plays. But he's a great martial arts star, and I think he was actually really good in this film too. He wears a fat suit, which I did hear about before, and I know people were apprehensive, but I think it actually makes it even more fun and enjoyable, because seeing this guy who is pretty fat kick John Wick's ass at times and throw him off a balcony, it's really exciting. And that club scene, I don't want to say it's the best, because the first movie does have one of the best club sequences of all time, and the second one has a very, very good one too, which leads into the catacombs fight. So, is this the best? I don't know. It might be. With the waterfall, with the slow motion, with the music, the incredible beat to this scene, I think it is one of the best of all time. And yeah, again, seeing him fall from an incredible height and somehow survive, I don't know how it's possible, but I don't care. You just buy into this shit. It's amazing. Without it, it would be a very short fight. But no, we get to see him take out these thugs in slow motion. And this is coming immediately after one of my favourite scenes in the movie, in fact. The sound mixing in particular during this scene as well is outstanding, because you can hear some of the club music faintly during this scene. And on top of this, when he's dealing out the cards, there's like this weird weight behind it. There's this doosh, doosh. Like, you can feel a beat as he's playing the cards out, which kind of lures them into a full sense of security, saying, yeah, this game is rigged, okay, you're not going to win this, but I'm going to trick you into thinking you are. So through the sound mixing, to kind of heighten that is really incredible. Like, they've always done really impressive things with the music and the sound in all four of these movies now, but this scene in particular really stood out for me as being one of the strongest. It's just four guys sitting around a poker table playing cards, and the tension that is built up here is fantastic, because the way the editing is paced, so it cuts from character to character, then card to card, and you see everybody's reaction to everything that is going on. Scott Adkins is delivering this monologue. He's saying he wants to kill him, you want to kill them, he wants to kill you, who do you want to kill, John? And then John's just like, I'm gonna kill you. Oh my god, I love it so much. This is amazing. Yeah, sure, it's just heavy toxic masculinity, okay? But the representation is there. You've got a blind Asian man, you've got a black man, you've got John Wick, and you've got a fat guy, okay? I never want to hear somebody say that John Wick isn't representative. All right, sure, the women don't do an awful lot in this film, which is kind of a shame, because after Rina Sawayama's scene in Osaka, there's pretty much no other women that have anything to do with the action, which is a shame. I do like the fact that the main person inciting John back into the family is a female character, and she is fantastic, but aside from that, the only other female character I can remember being in it was the radio DJ for the high table accounting sort of announcement thing. But I did like that as well when it got to that last hour, and she was saying, this next hit goes out to you, John Wick. And she was narrating where he was going. I thought that was really fun too. So overall, for a 2-hour, 49-minute movie, the editing is really sharp, really well paced. Nothing feels too slow. Nothing feels out of place. It makes perfect sense where he's going, what he's doing. I will say though as well, I've never understood how he's able to get from one location to the next so easily, because it seems as though every single person is out to kill John Wick, especially because this movie features his bounty go from, I think, 18 million all the way up to, was it about 30 or 40 million, which is just ridiculous. But the fact he's able to get from New York to the desert to Osaka to Berlin to Paris, it's kind of like, how is he getting here? Like, is he on a private jet? Is he on this mysterious underground train? I've got no idea in the slightest. Like, I know, I've just realized in my head it's quite easy to get from Berlin to Paris, but still, when you're John Wick with a 40 million bounty on your head, it shouldn't be as easy as this. So if I'm being picky, I would have liked them to explain just a little bit more how he's able to get from one place to the next in rapid time and very, very easily. But some things like this, you just don't need to worry about. You know, it's just fun. It's exciting. It's a John Wick movie, for God's sake. So the end. Okay, I think it's time I talk about the end. Something big happens. I don't know if it's because I don't want to believe it, or if it just wasn't as kind of impactful as it maybe could have been, but John Wick dies. Like, what? John Wick is dead, right? John Wick is dead right now, but I just don't believe it. Like, I really can't come to terms with the fact that he's gone. Okay, and I should be happy, because At the end of the movie, he's buried next to his wife, he's got loving husband on his gravestone, which is what he said he wanted. Throughout this movie, everybody is saying, sooner or later, you're going to die. There's no way you're going to survive all of this. Sometimes it's best just to leave it, walk away. You've had a good life, right? Have a good death. Yet still, something about it just doesn't feel right. Something about the fact that he just heals over and dies after the duel. He doesn't die from the duel explicitly. He just dies from the wounds after. I'm no expert, but I'm pretty sure he could survive the wounds, especially if he was seen to right away, because Kane shoots him in the shoulder, he grazes his arm, and it looks like he shoots him in the liver for the final shot. But John Wick shoots Kane in exactly the same place, or it might have been just slightly above, maybe his kidney, but Kane survives. So, I don't know, like, is John Wick actually dead? Because for me, I was under the impression that they were actually going to do a fifth movie, and at one point they were going to film them back to back. Now, I don't know if this single movie was actually meant to be part one and part two, because it feels like it could be, right? An awful lot happens, and the initial cut was 3 hours and 45 minutes, apparently. So it does make sense that maybe this one was the one shot back to back. But then they decided, no, we're not going to do a fifth one straight after. We're just going to do this one. So have they scrapped that fifth one? Is this the end? Like, I want to be happy, like, I want to be satisfied, and I think it's kind of, you know, it's kind of a perfect ending for John, because even though we don't see him get to take on the entire High Table, right, he doesn't kill everybody on it, but he does kill Bill Skarsgård's character, who was told at one point, if you kill John, he's going to be seen as a saint, but if John kills you, it's going to shift everything, right? Nothing is going to be the same with your status, with the High Table, and that's what happens. Okay, so John, he gets the ending he deserves, he changes things for the good, for the better. Kane is free, Winston's free, he's free, and he gets to be with his wife again. So, in theory, that's the perfect ending. Like, that could not have been done better. But I just think, for me personally, the fact that that's how he dies, and then there's just one little scene tacked on at the end with Lawrence Fishburne and Ian McShane and the dog. Of course the dog survives, thank God. And there's one moment as well when John Wick saves the other dog, which I thought was perfect. Like, that is just him, right? He has to save the dog. If somebody else's dog is in danger, he does not want what happened to his dog to happen to anybody else's dog. It's like in 3, when Halle Berry's dog gets shot and she goes on a rampage because of it, and he's just like, I get it. So it's nice that the dog made an appearance again at the end. But it's just that scene, okay? John Wick is dead. And then the two guys walk away, the camera lifts up, and that's it. That's the end of John Wick. Is it really? Like, I don't want them, of course, to be gimmicky and say, ha, guess what? He's actually alive. But I just think the idea of John Wick is dead. The myth and the legend is dead, right? Because to be a legend, you kind of have to die. But up until that point, he was already a living legend, let's be real. But I think it would have been nice, like, I honestly thought they were going to have, like, a Dark Knight Rises ending. Spoilers for that, of course, but when you think Batman is dead and then it cuts to Alfred on holiday and he sees Bruce Wayne, it's like, okay, he got the ending he deserves, you know, I like that, he's actually alive. But for John, it wouldn't actually make sense for him to still be alive because it's not like he's with his wife. Okay, so it makes, honestly, it does make perfect sense and it is beautiful, but I kind of wish there was more of a deeper impact and just more of a memorial for him, to be honest, because we've cared about this guy for 4 movies now, but is it almost saying, why did you care about him? He's a killer. He's horrible. Think of all of the people he's killed. This is what he deserves. Okay, he doesn't deserve like a big grand funeral. He just deserves 2 of his closest friends and his dog to be at his grave, buried next to his wife. That is really all he needs. But I want something more because I want to cry. Okay, when a character like this dies after so much, like, massive spoiler alert, James Bond, I cried my eyes out at that. But that was played up for the impact. This isn't. This is just, he has a duel, he succeeds, he walks away, but then he realizes, okay, you know what? Maybe there's no point in running anymore. Maybe the reward is death. Because there is a line that he says as well, those who cling to life die, and those who cling to death live. So at that point, he's kind of accepting his fate, and we should too. Okay, we should accept this fate for John. I just don't want to. I really don't, because I love Keanu Reeves and I love John Wick and I don't want him to die. Anyway, yeah, that's it. It's over. It's finished. But fret not, because it is already confirmed they are doing multiple spin-offs. Okay, there's going to be a Continental-style spin-off, and there's going to be a ballerina spin-off from the third movie with Ana de Armas in that. And I think Keanu is going to cameo in it too, hopefully, but I'm not sure when that's going to be released. Either way, are we going to get John Wick 5? I am honestly not sure. But after watching number 4, I don't think they're going to be able to top it. Like, this does feel like the perfect culmination, the perfect climax to this entire franchise. Doing one more might not be as good, and I would hate for them to ruin the streak, because it is like these movies have gotten better and better and better. Would they be able to pull it off again? But you know what? Lightning doesn't strike twice, but it certainly does for the John Wick franchise, because it's happened 4 times now. So I don't know, maybe they could do it again. But at the very end, there is a post-credits scene featuring Rina Sawayama's character, and she is approaching Kane, because she said when she left John earlier in the movie, either you kill him, or I will. So it looks like they're going to set up a spin-off, maybe. I would watch that. I would actually gladly watch any kind of spin-off, whether it's with Akira, her character, or Kane, or anybody else in this universe. I would gladly watch spin-offs, because there is just so much to explore. So many different and unique characters in this world. It's fantastic. The world building throughout every single one of these movies, even where the characters live or die, there is so much to explore and so many amazing avenues to discover. So I am absolutely here for more. I cannot wait to see what comes next. But the final thing I will say, in a little memoriam to Lance Reddick, who sadly passed away just a week before the premiere of this movie, which is tragic. He plays the concierge, Sharon, throughout this entire franchise, and he's amazing. He is such a great actor, and in these films in particular, he's iconic. Every single person that watches him loves his character. You must, surely. And I knew, I just had this really bad feeling that he was going to die in this film, and he does. He dies so early on, and the weight of it is there, okay? And you do feel like there's a stronger weight because he actually has died in real life. There's a moment when Winston and John Wick meet up at his grave, and they talk about him and how he was remembered as a friend. And in fact, John Wick kind of avenges him, right? By killing Bill Skarsgård, he avenges Sharon, and I think it's beautiful because Lance Reddick, yeah, a huge blow to lose him, and in this franchise. So the fact that he is still there, he is still present and prominent, is really beautiful. And as I mentioned in my non-spoiler review, it's weirdly like they kind of knew that something bad was going to happen to him, but nobody did. It was a complete shock. Okay, he died of natural causes. It's incredibly tragic and sad, but it actually adds to the weight of this movie. So overall, I think they handled his character very, very well. I didn't want him to die, but it makes sense in the grand scheme of things. And the way it happened was just so abrupt and shocking, but really just magnificent cinema, okay? That first 10 minutes is just ridiculous. You've got the opening, which is badass and booming, then you've got John Wick riding a horse through a desert shooting people, and then you've got Clancy Brown turning up at the Continental delivering a giant sand timer. Like, it couldn't have been any bigger, honestly. He's carrying this briefcase that's huge, and you're thinking, okay, what's he got in there? You know, a gun or something, or a bomb? No, it's just a giant sand timer. It's fantastic. So that's running for about an hour, and then by the end of the hour he has to go and meet Bill Skarsgård, and the Continental gets blown up. It's like, what? This film is not messing about. Love it. Okay, the scale is huge, everything is epic, the music, the lighting, the choreography, the falls, the kills, the weapons, every single little thing about this film is sensational. I'm not even joking when I say it is absolutely competing to be one of the best action films of all time, if not the very best. So yeah, with that, go and watch John Wick Chapter 4 again, because I'm assuming you will have already seen it by now if you're listening to this. I hope you've made it to the end of this, and I hope you've enjoyed. Let me know what your favorite moment was. What was your favorite kill? For me, I definitely need to watch it again before I determine what my favorite kill was. It's probably something to do with either the Dragon Breath shotgun, or when he's drifting around a set of cars in the Arc de Triomphe and he's shooting people. That is just glorious. Okay, it's classic John Wick. It's got everything you want. It's got the blood splatter on the camera. It's got him reloading, then shooting somebody in one motion. It's got an insane amount of smashing glass. It's got everything. Okay, this movie has it all. It's so good. And it's the fourth movie in a franchise. It shouldn't be as good as it is. But God damn it, this is fantastic. And I had an absolute blast with it from start to finish. I will be watching it again, because even though we're only at the end of March, I can guarantee this is going to remain one of the best films of the year, without a shadow of a doubt. If it isn't, I will be shocked, because the only other action movie I think coming out that is going to rival it is Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, but that's coming out in July, so for the next few months, John Wick is going to remain possibly my favourite film of the year so far, and I would not be surprised if it is also yours too. So, with that, this has been John Wick Chapter 4. Oh my god, it's so good. It's so unbelievably good. As always, I hope you've enjoyed. I've been Kieran. Be seeing you. And will we talk about John Wick 5? Or is this the end for real? I am not sure, but if this is the end, I'm satisfied. You are rarely going to see a better final hour of an action film. And we've already had an amazing final hour and a half of Avatar 2, but I'm going to say, I think this might top it. I think it might, just slightly. But I need to watch it again, because I have seen Avatar 5 times and I've only seen this once. But now that I'm done with this, I'm about to go and watch it again. You know what? Maybe I will go this afternoon. I'll watch it again. All right, so quick little update. I've seen it now for a second time and I can still confirm it is incredible. Absolutely loved it for a second time. There's only a few little things that I want to add that I didn't quite mention the first time around. The Osaka sequence. Okay, I did briefly mention it. Well, I talked about it a lot, actually. But still, it's kind of sad because the ending of this movie is so strong that you kind of forget just how impressive that sequence is, because when you're watching it, it just flows so smoothly from one fight to the next, and the pacing is fantastic, the lighting and the color choices are incredible. The very last thing that happens in that scene, when Kane kills Koji and his daughter Akira is holding him in her arms, keep an eye out for the colors, okay, because in this frame you've got greens, reds, and a bit of yellow too. You've got Kane in red. He is the bad guy. He's evil, basically, for what he's done. He's just killed somebody. The guy he's just killed, played by Hiroyuki Sanada, he's in green. Okay, he is the hero, pretty much. He's the one that sacrificed himself to try and save his daughter. But then Akira has mostly green, but a little bit of red. So there is a little bit of a hint that she is not all good. All right, she has a vengeance now because this guy has killed her dad. She wants to kill him in return. So that violent nature, that aggression, that rage, that redness is shining through just a little bit, but it could consume her. And I'm pretty sure from that post-credit scene, it's obvious she's still thinking about it and she still wants to act on it. So yeah, just thought I'd mention the colours, because throughout the entire film, the use of colour is fantastic. The fact that all four of these movies have been shot digitally, but they all feel so rich, right? Not a single scene feels flat. I think the ending, okay, the finale of this movie is a little more flat than I thought it probably could be, because it looks as though it was shot on a soundstage in front of some green screen. So I'm not too sure why, because I feel as though the scene itself would have looked fantastic if they'd managed to capture it in the moment, but just something about it feels a little more flat than usual. But the rest of this movie, right, and the rest of the three movies that have come before it, they are so rich with colours, it makes you feel as though you're watching something that's been shot on film. So next time you complain that digital cinema is just too dark and flat and murky, watch the John Wick films, because they are an indication you can actually make it possible to make it feel as though you're watching something that's been shot on film that hasn't. Anyway, final thing about the Osaka sequence, love the fact that John Wick spends about, I don't know, a good 7 minutes, almost 10 minutes, just taking out waves of enemies. Like, seriously, more just keep coming out of nowhere, and it's crazy because he's just kicking ass. The nunchuck action is ridiculous. I love it. So yeah, I really feel as though that sequence doesn't get enough credit because it's overshadowed by how great the final sequences are. But trust me, Osaka is fantastic. So good. The club sequence as well gets massively overlooked because I do think it might be the best. It might be the best one they've had, but I don't know. I need to watch it again and again a few more times because I just love it. Like, I really, really enjoy this film. Even the smaller moments too, I think are fantastic. The scene when they're setting up the duel, when it's got the Eiffel Tower in the backdrop, like, are you kidding me? It's just so good. The script is on fire. But that's the moment, okay? That is the moment when Keanu Reeves delivers probably the weakest line in the film, after Bill Skarsgård says, John Wick is a killer. And he says, and he's gonna kill you. And it's like, oh, somebody did actually laugh. So yeah, it's a funny line because it's not the best line read. But still, Keanu Reeves is fantastic throughout the rest of this movie. I'm pretty sure as well there's a reference to The Matrix, but I can't remember if it's Revolutions or Reloaded. But the scene when John goes to the kind of subway station and he waits for Lawrence Fishburne to come, that's got to be a reference, surely, because that's when Neo is waiting at the station and the train comes for him then. It's got to be, hasn't it? Really? Like, I'm not the only person thinking that, surely, but I don't know if it's that obvious, and I don't know why nobody else is talking about it, because in the third movie, when he says, I need guns, lots of guns, everybody was talking about that being a Matrix reference, but why is nobody talking about it now? Granted, it has only been out for a couple of days, but still, I definitely feel like it is. It's got to be. It's got to be. But it's so good. I love it. Because it was the first thing I thought of. I thought, hey, it's Keanu at a subway station. That's The Matrix. It's got to be. But anyway, I am kind of coming to terms with the fact that he's dead. Okay, I am. But, I think there is something else going on. Okay, just from my perspective, right, what I gather from that final scene and from what's come before, just prior to everything hitting the fan and everybody trying to kill John, there is that moment when he says to Winston and Lawrence Fishburne, "I'm a gravestone, I want loving husbands." Okay, so they know what he wants, so it would be entirely possible that they are able to make that wish come true for him, but for him to still survive. And I think this even more, because the very last scene, when Winston puts his hand on the grave, he's got a tattoo, and it looks like it's the tattoo of the family crest. So that Belarusian family that he is part of now, John Wick is part of, it looks as though the insignia is tattooed on Winston. So is that a big reveal? The fact that he is part of this clan, this family as well? But we didn't know about this for 4 movies now? So it would make so much sense if he's kind of been in cahoots with him this whole time. Just as though I'm pretty sure Kane and John Wick were in cahoots together, saying, do this, okay, shoot me here, make it seem as though I'm dead, then get Bill Skarsgård to come and deal the final blow and I'll kill him. You're safe, your daughter's safe, and I'm free. Okay, it's entirely possible that when they were in that church together, they were talking about this. We just didn't see it because they cut it out or because we didn't need to know. Okay, it was just kind of implicit, which makes it all the more possible that the same thing happened for that final scene too, especially after Lawrence Fishburne asks Winston, do you think he's in heaven or hell? And Winston just kind of gives a look and he gives a smile. And then Lawrence Fishburne gives a smile. So it's like, okay, maybe he's not dead at all. Maybe, like, he is still around. It's just the idea of him, okay? The legacy of John Wick is dead. Like, he is free. He's a free man. But I still think it would be good if he's dead because he's with his wife. He's got nothing to live for in the world anymore, let's be real. And he's tired. By this movie, he is so freaking tired. Just let him rest, okay? And I think that's what he's achieved. You know, he's achieved what he set out to do. He doesn't need to kill every single person on the table. But I don't know, it still feels like there is something going on, which was kind of lurking more obviously in that second watch. I mean, after he asks Winston, take me home, Winston kind of gives a look and he's like, okay, you can see something going on in his head. Like, he's thinking, how do I make this happen? So Winston's the one taking him home. Lawrence Fishburne, I assume, isn't there anymore because he's gone a separate way until they meet back up in New York. So between those two events of John seemingly dying and then being buried, there is an extreme possibility that Winston and John are working together to kind of let him rest. And now he is out there still, but he's not John Wick anymore. And he's not going to be hunted. He's not going to go hunting. He's free. But in order to be free, as they say throughout this movie, death is the only way. So I do think he's dead. I don't want him to be dead, but I think he's dead, let's be real. So yeah, tragic ending. Very, very shocking. Yeah, I'm going to struggle to believe that he's actually dead for a while, but this film is just incredible. Absolutely love it. I'm sorry this has been a long review, but I could talk for hours and hours about it. So if you want to hear more, maybe I will talk about it more. But until next time, hope you've enjoyed. Go and watch John Wick Chapter 4. It is the best of the bunch. I'm going to say it again. I do think that after watching it for a second time. So yeah, until next time, I've been Kieran. This wraps up the saga of John Wick, and I shall speak to you in the very next episode of You Can't Handle the Truth.